Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Hosanna is with us.
I am.
Again.
Woo!
And Carrie.
Hello.
And Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. Did you want to speak?
I don't know. She'll speak. Do I have that look?
Yeah, no, no, no.
Sandy's like, for better, for worse.
Yeah.
This is happening. Lord help us.
I know. Well, actually, we are still in Acts. We're in Acts 2, and we're going to continue on 12 through 28. And it'll be about Peter and his preaching to the people.
Mm-hmm. All righty then. So you want to read it for us?
Sure. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood. But before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.
I love this passage. Mm. I always forget how much I love it, but just the beauty of God's word. Okay, so here we have this mighty movement of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit falling down on them, and it's evident to everybody that the Spirit of God is at work. And then the people cry out, what must we do? And then another group's like, they must be drunk. And just... No matter what we do in the Lord, it seems that there's going to be a group that will
criticize us.
Want it, and there will be a group that will criticize us or find something to find fault. And then Peter gets up and he's like, hey, wait a minute. You know,
we're going to set the record straight.
Yeah, not happening. We're not drunk. Look, this was something that we know. And he goes to scriptures that these people would know well. And in fact, by these scriptures, honestly, these scriptures are a testimony against them because of the fact that they didn't respond. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why he comes so hard down and said, you crucified him. Mm-hmm. He's able to say that because it's the same people. Remember, the same people that were there in the mob saying, crucify. Mm-hmm. They are now there and having the movement of the Spirit of God at work. And he begins the process of sharing with them what would have resonated within their hearts.
Just, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, Jesus taught that way with scripture.
Yeah.
He was a good learner. Peter, you know.
Yeah. And it affirms because he's speaking to Jewish people and Gentile. And so both are there present. And so they would have had the need to hear that. But then not only does he do the Old Testament, he then bears witness. Mm. So he uses the old, and then he does proclamation of what he had seen and heard. And he shares about how Jesus came and he moved, preaching, doing miracles, and all that he did and what happened there. And how he says to them, and all of this was done because God prearranged it. Mm. Now, what I want to point out, what was said to the disciples when they asked, is this when you're coming into your kingdom? What did Jesus say to them? Remember in the Ascension story, what did he tell them?
It's not for you to know the time.
Right.
Only the Father in heaven knows that.
And he is the one that has set
the purpose.
These authorities, this with his fixed authority. And here it is, he's already proclaiming it. At the first sermon that he gives, he tells them God knew and he prearranged. So he shows them the Old Testament. He then gives the eyewitness account. He points out that God's got it set. And then he affirms it with more scripture of showing what Christ has done. And it's just like, wow, that's so beautiful. And it's amazing because it's spontaneous. It's amazing because it's from the heart. It's amazing because you can tell he's moved from get behind me, Satan, you know, to, you know, denying, to running away.
To hiding.
Mm-hmm. Hiding, to now being
proclaiming,
you know, and the Spirit of God is at work. And you see the evidence of the Spirit of God. Mm. And I just, it gives me hope because I really relate to Peter. Does anybody else relate to
Absolutely.
Peter?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Peter doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's just like fully honest, and he's like that 5-year-old that doesn't have a filter.
Yeah.
He's just the older people.
Yeah. It goes back.
I have that problem too.
And it's really wonderful because you see all the mistakes, but yet the willingness to learn. He has humility.
Mm-hmm. And the love of Christ. You know, and Christ forgave him 3 times when he, you know, denied him 3 times. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be 452 million times.
And so here you have a 180, someone who was afraid to identify with Christ, and now he's preaching to the same people who crucified Christ this very bold message, which is super awesome to see.
That's so good.
Because, yeah, that's where he was denying Christ, when this mob.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're right.
I really love how Peter then goes into David's psalm, Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And I think I asked one of you, Hosanna, if you could read that psalm for us.
Starting in verse 8?
Yep, 8 through 11.
It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Okay, do you see how he literally quoted this verbatim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Verbatim. And this was a spontaneous speech.
The dude knew his stuff.
Yeah.
he had studied up as a kid.
I know. It's so good. I was telling Hosanna on the drive over here that I've written actually a Bible study on the first 14 books of the book of Acts, and I call it Tell It Well. And one of the main points I make out is that the book of Acts actually shows us how the disciples then began to story God's story. Mm. And they did it differently with each people group. And you'll see that they pull out certain things because that truth of what happened in God's story will reach this people group, but it's not necessarily as significant to this people group. And it doesn't matter what part of the story you tell. The key is whether or not it leads them to faith. And that if you study how the disciples did it, each of them fine-tuned it by the workings of the Holy Spirit in them. Because he guides us in all truth, what will reach people. And that is what he did here. And it just is so beautiful. And so when I was studying this, at one point, I had made a list of things that we have as promises that Peter proclaims over the people. And I just wanted to read these to you because they are in what we just read. But I want you to hear them just kind of like as a summary. So one, our hand will not be shaken when we have the Spirit of God in us. Now, that doesn't mean our world won't, but it means that we won't if we are surrendered, okay? That our heart can be full of joy and dancing, okay? We can have, despite circumstances, we can know joy, and we can know that lightness of joy despite circumstances. Our mouth or tongue, depending on the translation of what you do, will be able to praise God. In all circumstances, we will be able to praise God, because what is our purpose? To give God glory, to give God glory and proclaim the good news. Okay, and so the other thing is that our flesh, sometimes I wonder if my flesh can do this, because I think, God, I just need help. Our flesh has promised that it will see God, that if we're willing to allow him to be at work in us, our flesh will be allowed to see the presence of God at work in us. And I had shared in the first show how it's a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I've prayed for years. I don't know, Habakkuk 1:5, where it says that he will shock us and amaze us in our day. And I've asked God for years, like, just shock us and amaze us. Let us see your presence so at work that we are shocked and amazed by you, God. And he has never let me down in that. He is faithful and showing me the capacity to forgive, the capacity to love, the capacity for just the pleasure of seeing something beautiful. The other morning when I woke up, and I don't know why I've never seen this shadow before, but somehow with the way the light was in my room, it was the door shadow on my ceiling in my bedroom. And I just sat there for a minute, and I was amazed at the beauty of that shadow and the way that the light was casting. And I actually sat in awe of God by the casting of a shadow, and found delight and goodness in his pleasure. Because when our hearts are in tune to God, we will know that goodness of pleasure of the things that he has created. And so light and shadow are part of his creation, and that would be something that would cause us to be in awe of God. Mm. Our soul will not be dead. The soul's not going to die if we believe. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. That the body of the Holy One for Christ, his body will not decay. He rose from the grave. So that promise. And our mind will know his ways of life. And sometimes I wonder, how is that possible? Because it's like the circumstances, you think, okay, God, we're still waiting. Yeah. We're still waiting. But he says, you will know his way of life. Now, isn't that part of the beauty, is that he changes us in the circumstances so that we can be his presence and his love and his goodness and his forgiveness? And that is his way of life. That may not change the people and their behavior and what they're doing, but we and who we are, he works that out and changes that in us. And that through that, that our spirit in us, we are full. We will know his fullness. Okay? These are things that we're promised, that he has given us. And that is what Peter's proclaiming to every nation, all those people groups that are there that we read, people from Galilee, from the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, the Jews and converts from in Judaism, the Cretans and the Arabs, all the nations right there at the time. And commentators say that they believe that it was 70 nations that represented the Gentiles at this time, and that all of those nations were represented. That is just, oh my goodness, he loves us so much. Isn't that amazing to you?
Mm-hmm.
Our God, he's so good. And so, the power of that and the power of his outpouring. The other thing that I want you guys to think through is that he's asking them to see how God has worked in the past, how God is working in the present. Okay, good, Sandy. What am I doing? You can do it. What is that from?
I can't remember. Oh, the healing.
The trauma healing training that the International Mission Board does. We do an activity where we have to point to the back to show that we've looked in the past. And then we have, we look up, and that's to show that we're looking at Christ. And then we have to point forward to show that we're looking forward. And that is what Peter did.
Yeah.
He took them and
I never connected that until now.
Having that visual, you'll never forget it, will you? And so he had them look to the past. He had them to look up, and then he has them see how they're going to be moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's a beautiful working of God's Spirit.
And it's really cool to see how he shows the intentionality of God in that. Talking about verse 23, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. He let Christ be crucified. He intentionally had that happen. And it's really cool to see. He's like, oh, by the way, this was talked about by David and Joel in the past. And then it just happened, and God's using it.
Mm-hmm. For salvation. Yep.
It's so good. Okay, so as we are thinking through this, I want you guys to be thinking of a moment when you know that the Spirit of God's been at work in you, that you have seen him at work in your past, your present, and that you have hope that he's moving forward in the future. It doesn't have to be long, complicated. I just put you on the spot, Carrie's going, I am rolling my eyes. If you could see a video of what she just like, girl, that's not it. You're asking us, yeah. No, like seriously, the movement of the Spirit of God. And
I remember one time, and I think you've heard this story, Tara. It's a long time ago. Steve was still alive, and I was just driving past Walmart, and God had told me to stop and pick this lady up that was on the other side. Well, I thought, nah. But I went up and turned a U-turn. And I said, all right, if she's still there, I'll pick her up. I drove up there. There she was. And I just opened the door and said, I rolled down the window. I says, I think I'm supposed to give you a ride somewhere. And she kind of looked at me a little weird. Mm-hmm. But then I said, I don't know. I said, Jesus told me to stop and pick you up. She jumped in the car. Twice that happened with her. Her name was Flo, I think. She was this, what was she, Somalian? Or,
okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
But it was so great. Steve wasn't happy, but it was like, you did what?
Well, why did you do that? That's awesome. Hosanna, do you have one? And I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't.
No,
it's all good. Right, it's all good. So I have a friend that she prays and listens so well. And one morning when she was doing her prayer time, and this is a woman who did not have children, and she's praying, and she said, I heard in my heart, go buy Pampers diapers, newborns. Huh. And she's, what? and don't go to church until you buy the Pampers newborn diapers. And she's like, okay, I guess I'm going to go to the store. And she went to Randall's. That was the store that we had in Texas. And she bought a big package of Pampers newborns. And here she is. She has no kids, but she's walking into church to come to Bible study carrying her Pampers with no diapers.
Really?
No, for real.
Yeah.
And she gets on the elevator, and she runs into a pregnant mom that had tears on her face. And she just looked at her, and she goes, I think these are for you. And the woman looked at her and went, what? And she goes, I was praying and I thought I was supposed to get diapers and I did. And I think these are for you. And the woman accepted them and then told her her story. And the woman was there to receive benevolence.
Wow.
And her baby was due.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. God bless.